Before we read the passage, look at verse 7 with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is addressing the scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem, but he's in the north up in the Galilee. And he says to them in verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Quoting Isaiah 29:13, when he said this, he says, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Ye hypocrites, he says in verse 7. We're going to look at what that means today. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father, thank you this morning that we do have a Bible that we can trust, that we have a salvation that is sure. Thank you that we have a church where we can come to worship you and hear the word of God preached. Thank you for the many folks that work to make our church able to minister to you. God, I ask you today, please have your will in this service and bless our time together. Lord, you know our heart's desire is to preach the word of God accurately and boldly and properly, and that you would guide, and that we would simply see what the Bible has to say to each of us this morning. Pray that you'd make that possible, protect us if you would, and give us a good morning. We pray you'd bless the baptism to follow. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word hypocrite is a word that is a chilling, intimidating word. It means to be a fake. It means to be an actor, a pretender, a liar. The Bible has nothing good to say about hypocrites. Hypocrite is a person that puts on a face and is not really what he pretends to be. He wants someone to believe what is not true. The word occurs 40 times in the authorized version of the Bible between Job and 1 Peter. The Bible says hypocrites have no reward for what they do, Matthew 6:2. The Bible says that hypocrites point out the sins of others, but they have worse sin that they ignore, Matthew 7:4 and 5. The Bible says that the scribes and Pharisees were called hypocrites, and that Jesus said they would not enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 23:13. That they have a greater damnation, Matthew 23:14. That they are children of hell, Matthew 23:15. That they have no reward in eternity, Matthew 24:51. And that they deceive people into thinking that they are what they are not, Luke 11:44. Their worship is called vain in Matthew 15:9. And in Luke 12:1, the leaven of the Pharisees is called hypocrisy. It was the ingredient that made them grow and increase. And the Bible says we should beware of it because it is dangerous. Now, what you see here in Matthew chapter 15 is that the Pharisees had come from Jerusalem and they have an accusation to make. And their accusation is found in verse 2. They say, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And I just got to say, if that's the best they can come up with, the disciples are doing pretty good. Amen? In other words, they came with an accusation, and they're accusing the followers of Jesus of not doing something that they expected. It doesn't say in the Bible that you have to wash your hands before you eat, but the tradition of the elders was so, and the Pharisees were judging based upon man's opinion and man's practices rather than what God said, and they were claiming to be doing so in the name of God. Now let's just back up and talk about where we sit today, because it's a very applicable message. First of all, you understand that our church, if you read our doctrinal statement, if you look at our practices, that we have some things we believe. We believe, for example, that the local church is the instrument, the organization that God chose to get the gospel around the world. Amen? Amen? God didn't call any other organization except the local church. And we believe a local church is made up of an assembly of baptized, born-again believers who are organized in carrying out what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission is that we go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tonight, we're going to vote to take on, Lord willing, 3 new missionaries. And that much more of the world will be getting the gospel, and we'll be a part of spreading the gospel around the world. We believe with all of our hearts, because of what we see in the Bible and what we know, that God preserved His Word for us in the authorized version of the Bible, which we also call the King James Bible. God promised to preserve His Word, Isaiah 59:21, Psalm 12:6-7. And we believe God kept that promise. Now, I could list another half a dozen doctrines. We believe in believer's baptism. Amen. Believer's baptism says we baptize somebody after they've believed on Jesus Christ, not before. And we believe you ought to be baptized. The Bible says be baptized, every one of you. We believe in salvation by faith in Christ and not by works, not by baptism, not by church membership. We believe that repentance is important. We believe that the church is going to be used by God during this age, and that there's going to be a rapture of the saints, and it could happen today. Amen? And that for 7 years, while we are with the Lord, God's going to judge this world, and then Jesus is going to come back and for 1,000 years rule and reign.
Praise the Lord.
Now, what I've just done is I've just listed some doctrines and some practices that we conform to in our church. But listen to what I'm about to say. The fact that you agree with me or that you hold to those things I just said does not prove that you love God.
That's right.
Think about that for a minute. It could be, it is possible. It is definitely an occurrence that there are folks that would agree with the things I just said, but their love for God is not what it ought to be. Don't answer this question, but ask yourself, do you love the Lord?
Amen.
How close are you to Him?
Good,
amen?
Amen?
Are you nearer to Him, or are you nearer to some other things?
Oh.
Do you know how to get near to God? You see, if you look at this passage, and if you're looking with me, please look carefully, in Matthew 15, here's what happens. It says, then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Now that was a public accusation, I'm very sure. It's public to some extent, at least. And these men, representing themselves as godly men, religious leaders, who expected the people to follow them in what they were doing to follow God, which they weren't, by the way, but anyway, these men made this accusation in an attempt to draw people away from Christ to themselves. And the truth of the matter is, they could care less about godliness. They were worried about themselves. It is possible to be very well indoctrinated and not have a relationship with God. These people prove that. Now, I do believe this. If you have a relationship with God, you'll learn more about Him. In fact, I don't think those two can be separated.
Amen.
In other words, I think when you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to do so because you've spent time with Him in His Word, and you have desired to love Him, and He, as He has loved you, has drawn you closer to Him, and it is a mutual relationship that grows as you seek Him more and more. And that's the way it ought to be. And I'll talk to more about how to get near God here in just a little bit. But the Pharisees really had no interest in getting near to God. They had an agenda which centered around them. They wanted the benefit of being followed by the people. I'm sure it was a lucrative affair for them financially. And they didn't want somebody cutting into their territory. Now watch me. There are Christians today that have that kind of relationship with God, I'm sorry to say. Why do you and I serve God? Because of who He is or because of what we get?
Who He is.
Amen. What did Job, his accusation by the devil? The devil said to God, he said, Job doesn't love you because of who you are. He said he loves you because of all the things you gave him. And God allowed the devil to get into Job's affairs enough to take away his possessions, his children, and his health. And guess what? Job still loved God. I got to ask the question, would you love God if you didn't get anything back in return? Would you love God because of who he is and not because you think, oh, hey, maybe if I do this and that and the other thing, I'll get a blessing from him. You remember the fellow in the book of Acts, Simon, that thought that he could use money to get the Holy Spirit. And it was all about money with him. And his theory was, if I give money, then they can give me the Holy Ghost and then I can make some more money. That's wicked. We're going to look at that probably two Sundays from now in the evening in Numbers, to where a man is offered money if he'll curse the children of Israel. And at first, he goes along with it. Back to where I started. I don't want to get too far off the trail here. A hypocrite is someone that pretends to be what they are not. They pretend to be godly when they really aren't concerned about what God thinks. And they pretend to be close to him when they really aren't close to him at all. And folks, whether or not it's about hypocrisy, we should desire to be close to God. Amen? Amen. So let's look at some things here. First of all, Jesus in verse 3 answered them. And he said, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Okay, so they've accused the disciples of not washing their hands. He says, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Are you with me in verse 4? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, you wouldn't understand it at first glance, but what's happening is this. The people, the Pharisees, were commanded to provide for their elderly parents. That's in the Bible. God expects us to care for our parents when they get old. Amen? Write that down and give it to your kids. Amen? And our nation is not very good at that, by the way. But the Pharisees said, oh, no. Our money is a gift for God. We can't give our money to our parents. We have to give it to God. It's a gift. And so we don't have money to give to our parents, which is hogwash, which is nonsense. God said, here's what I want you to do. And they didn't want to do it, so they came up with an excuse. Now, stay with me here. When God says to do something, do you do it or do you make an excuse? Now, this is a scary thought. If you make an excuse, you're walking down the same path that the Pharisees walked down. I don't need to list the commandments of God. You know which ones you obey, which ones you don't. Amen? I'm not trying to be hard on you. Listen to me. This is a good message for all of us. We don't need to take long, but let's see what a hypocrite is. And it's all right here in this passage. It's very, very clear. Why would Jesus say in verse 7, ye hypocrites? Well, first of all, there's three aspects to this. And the first was their false claim. Look at verse 8. He says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. Let's just stop right there. He's directly quoting Isaiah 29:13, and he's talking about the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, like some people today, were very good at talking the talk. They knew what to say. I had a situation one time where a young man came and visited our church on a Sunday morning in Maryland. And I had known him from his family that went to our church up in Salt Lake City. And this young man, we didn't see much of him in Salt Lake City, but here he comes with his van and his friend, and they come to my house right after church on Sunday morning, after the service was over. And he said, hey, you know, I need some money. I need this. I need that. And he began to talk about how excited they were to be in a church that used the King James Bible, which we did. And how excited they were to be in a church which preached the gospel, which we did. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I really can't deal with this right now. It's Sunday afternoon. I'm getting ready for tonight. Come back to church tonight, and I'll meet with you after church, and we can talk about this some more. And yes, I had an ulterior motive, get him back in church. Amen? So they left, and I called the young man's dad, or his stepdad, And I said, hey, so-and-so's here at my front door this afternoon, and he's telling me how excited he is to be serving God and how excited he is to be in a good church and how he needs some help. I just wondered if you'd let me know what's going on. He said he's lying through his teeth. He said he stole a bunch of money from us and left. He's stolen from some other people and left. He knows what to say, but he just wants to get your money. And so they came back to church that night, and I didn't say anything, and I preached a message. And at the end of the message, I said, okay, let's meet outside here. And we stood outside, and I said, I talked to your stepfather. You could see his countenance kind of fall. Oh, you know the truth. I said, we're not going to give you anything, I'm sorry, but you just need to get right with God. You're not doing what's right. You've stolen from them, you've stolen from this other person, and you need to get right with God. They didn't even bother to argue. Turned around and walked away and left. What they knew was if they said the right thing, they might get some acceptance. Folks, this is so clear. It may be that you impress other people, but that's not the point. How are you and God doing?
That's good, Pastor.
Amen? That's what the issue is here. See, here's what he says. They make this great claim. We know the Lord. We're worried about how your disciples are behaving. And I'm sure that they had some nice, deep baritone voices and that they were very, very concerned looking on their face and that they were making the excuse that we're just trying to make sure things are done right. You know, that's what we're worried about is that things are done right. And they could care less about what was done right. And Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. Now look at this with me, please, in the Bible. Look at verse 8. This is the key right here. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? It says, their heart is far from me. Hebrews 10:22 says this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We need to examine our hearts. What's your heart close to? What is it you're seeking? What do you love? Can you say, and it doesn't matter what you say to me or to Brother Mendez or to anybody else here, can you stand before God and can you say, my heart is close to God? Amen? Now, if you come and you tell others, hey, I'm close to God, and you're not, you're a hypocrite. You're pretending to be something you're not. Now, let me understand something with you. This does not mean we have to go around telling everyone all of our sins. You know, I committed this sin today and I committed that sin yesterday. No, I think we confess our sins to God. Amen?
Amen.
But the question is this, and this is good for Vision Baptist Church and for our visitors and for even people here that are lost. You know where your heart is. You know whether your heart seeks God or something else. You know how much time last week you spent with God versus how much time you spent with something else. You know what you desire in your life. You know what you're going after. You know what thing you think will make you happy. And folks, I'm just going to be plainly spoken today. I think we're way too far away from God in many cases.
That's right. Amen. Good preaching.
Now, it's easy. I've seen it done 100 times. For a pastor to stand up in front of a group of people and say, you got a problem, and then get down and walk off. No, we need a solution to that problem. Amen?
Amen?
Let me show you the solution to this problem. At least get you started anyway. Keep your finger here. We're coming back at the very end. Go to Psalm 119. Go to Psalm 119. I met with a doctor lately. The doctor says to me, you have a health problem. You have high cholesterol. It's going to kill you. I'm not convinced. You may be. I'm not. But the doctor says, here's some things you need to do to drop that down. I have two choices. I can try and deal with it, or I can ignore it. The fact of the matter is, I hope the doctor's wrong. I'm not quite sure. But let me tell you something. The Bible's right. Now, stay with me. Folks, we need to be nearer to God.
Amen.
We understand that, amen? Now, I know we all, the person with the best walk would say, I want to be nearer. But I'm afraid some of us are so far away from God that we have some giant steps we need to take. And this is good for a young person. This is good for an old person, people in the middle. If you want to get nearer to God, how are you going to do that? Well, here's two simple, true answers. Number one, you need to find out how by looking in the Bible. Amen. We're going to look in the Bible to find out how to get nearer to God. Amen. And number two, I believe with all my heart, if you came to the Lord in prayer and you said, Lord, I want to be nearer to you. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be right with you. Lord, show me what to do. I think God would show you. But let me show you a couple of things in the Bible. Now, what do you know about Psalm 119? Real quick, Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. Amen. All but two of the verses in this Psalm directly name the Word of God. For example, if you're there in Psalm 119, in verse 1 it says, the law. In verse 2 it says, his testimonies. In verse 3 it says, his ways. In verse 4 it says, thy precepts. In verse 5 it says, thy statutes. In verse 6 it says, thy commandments. In verse 7 it says, thy righteous judgments. In verse 8 it says, thy statutes. I'm not going to go all the way down to the end of this longest chapter in the Bible, which is 176, but I'll tell you, except for two verses in Psalm 119, they all mention the Word of God. If you're here and you've been saved 50 years, if you're here and you're not saved, the same thing works for all of us. If you want to find God, you're going to find him in his word.
Amen.
Let's see what he says about that. If you're in Psalm 119, let's just begin in the first few verses. It says in verse 7, I will praise thee, oh look at this, with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Did you see that? I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. If you want to have a right heart, learn his righteous judgments.
Amen.
Learn the Word of God.
Great.
The Word of God will change your heart.
Great.
The devil's going to tell you, oh, you're way too busy for that. You got to get up and exercise, and you got to have a good breakfast, and then you got to go to work, and then you got to work hard all day, and then you come home, you got to have dinner, and now you're tired, you need to go to bed. We'll find time for the Bible on the weekend, maybe. The devil's going to keep you out of the Bible if he can, because he knows the Bible will change you.
Amen.
Folks, we have to be deliberate. If we want to have a good heart, get in the Bible.
Amen.
Say, how much? I don't know. How much do you care to have a good heart? I'd say a whole lot. Look at verse 69 in Psalm 119. Verse 69, a little further along. It says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Now, step one, or part of step one at least, was to learn what the Word of God says. The word in 69, verse 69, is keep. Now, that word keep, I won't get into great detail here, but it has something more to do than just knowing about it. It's when you act upon it. The best example of the word keep in the New Testament is that when the soldiers were given charge of that tomb where Jesus was buried, they kept that tomb. They watched it. They made sure nobody came and went. That was proof. One of the reasons we know that Jesus rose from the dead. We didn't need more than that. But anyway, the bottom line is they paid attention to it and they attended to it and they cared about it. Knowing the Word of God will help your heart. Keeping the Word of God is the next step. The devil knows the Word of God. It does not change him. I know lost people that know the Word of God. I know cults. I lived in Salt Lake City. Cults that use the Word of God, not properly, but they use it, but it doesn't change them. They change it. That's the question. Does the Bible change you, or do you change the Bible? Amen? You want a good heart? Then when the Bible says do it, do it. When the Bible says think it, think it. When the Bible says don't do it, don't do it. Say, Pastor, it can't be that easy. I don't know. I'm just reading the Bible. Let's turn to verse 112. Verse 112, he says, I have, in Psalm 119, 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I've inclined my heart. Brother Mendez has something in his wall in his office about having daily devotions. And talks about, how's it preparing? How's it say? Prepare.
If you fail to prepare your heart,
Yeah, failure to prepare is preparing to fail. You need to prepare your heart daily to walk with God. If you don't, you're going to sin. Okay. If you fail to prepare your heart, you perform evil. In other words, if you don't walk with God, you're going to walk somewhere else. Now, let's come back to where we started. The Pharisees come in and they say, look, these disciples didn't wash their hands. The elders, no, that's a bad thing. They should be washing their hands. Jesus says, listen to me, you're doing a far worse thing. You're taking your tradition and changing the word of God so that you don't have to obey it. You don't really care about the word of God. You care about your opinion. And then, oh, by the way, let's just get this off the table here so we can move on. I know that there are Christians who are hypocrites. I know there are doctors that are quacks that don't really have the ability to do any good for you. I still go to the doctor. I know there are auto mechanics that will rip you off. I still go to the auto mechanic. I'm careful where I go, but I still go. I know there are Christians that are hypocrites, but I'm still a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
I met with a fellow in Salt Lake City one time. I can still see the room. And him sitting there on his sofa, he says to me, the reason I don't go to church is because all Christians are hypocrites. That's not true. All Christians are not hypocrites. Some are. Some are genuine. Amen?
Amen.
If you and I want to be valuable in God's work, we need to be the real thing.
Right.
Nobody likes to be sold a fake. I can imagine why the world would be mad, because a lot of the religion in the world today is fake, isn't it? All right, we got to finish this up. Let's look at this back in Matthew chapter 15 and we're done. In verse 9, he says to them, in vain they, that's the Pharisees and the Sadducees, do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Doctrine is teaching. It's what you learn. And folks, there are a lot of religions, there are a lot of cults, there are a lot of movements today. And what they do is, they'll tell you what some man thought. There are the Mennonites, they follow Menno Simmons. I'm just picking a few out of the air here. There are the Mormons, they follow the teachings of Joseph Smith. There are the Lutherans, they follow the teachings of Martin Luther. There are the Calvinists. They follow the teachings of John Calvin. And I could name a few more. The Methodists follow the teachings of John Wesley. What about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen. Amen.
I can find some man who's an orator and who's well accepted. I've got a lot of Wesley's books in my library. And he was an intelligent man. He wrote grammars in Hebrew, I think Greek also. In Latin, he was very well-educated, a very, very good orator. But folks, if he doesn't agree with this Bible somewhere, the Bible's right and he's wrong.
That's right.
Where's your heart? And who are you obeying? If you're not obeying the Lord, and you say you are, you're a hypocrite.
Right.
If your heart's not close to the Lord and you say it is, you're a hypocrite. And I don't care how deep your voice is or how great your manner of speaking is or how many Bible verses you can quote or what Bible you use or how many people you claim to have won to the Lord. Folks, if your heart's not close to God, you're a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be close to the Lord. I'm going to finish this up very quickly. Short message today, but hopefully the Lord can use what we've given. Number one. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seek after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Can I ask you the question? Do you realize you're a sinner? You say, well, Pastor, that's insulting. No, I'm a sinner. Then the Bible says this. The wages of sin is death. And the Bible says death and hell will be cast into a lake of fire. I got to ask you this. If you're not saved, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Oh, that can't be. That's what the Pharisees said. I don't think that's right. That's what the serpent told Eve. Nah, you shall not surely die. She died. The Bible tells you what's going to happen to those that don't know Christ. You can wish it's not true. You can hope it's not true. You can pretend it's not true. You can live like it's not true. The Bible says the rich man lift up his eyes in hell in Luke 16. It's true. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? All of us. Amen. Somebody told me one time they never had sin, and I said, I'm sorry to hear that. Christ didn't die for you if you never have sinned. Why did Christ need to die if you never have sinned? But we have sinned. You have sinned. I have sinned. And Christ died for us. Amen?
Amen?
And then the Bible says this. Here we go again. The heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Have you called on him? Say, I don't have to do that, Pastor. It's just not important to me. The Bible says it ought to be.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I will compliment you in one regard, and that is, if you're not a Christian and you don't claim to be one, at least you're not a hypocrite. But that will not make hell any less hot. If you are a Christian and you're a hypocrite and you're in eternity with no rewards, at least you got to spare hell, amen? You got to escape hell. But what about the people here today that haven't yet received Christ as their Savior? And this is where our church comes in. God gave us the responsibility to reach our area with the gospel. Say, what's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day. Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, to pay for your sins and mine. And if you have believed that, the Bible says you're saved. And if you haven't believed that, the Bible says you're lost. But you don't have to be lost. Today, we'd like to take a Bible and sit down with you and show you how you can find Christ as Savior. Or if not today, right now, even as you sit there, you could pray a prayer and ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sins.
Amen.
I was in a nursing home one time and teaching a lesson out of Galatians, and I made that statement. A fellow raised his hand. He didn't speak much English. He was from Japan, but kind of annoyed me. I was teaching, and he's trying to interrupt me. Well, what's the problem here? I said, what do you want? And he said, you said I can be saved right now. I want to be saved right now. Well, let's stop and do that. That's much more important than what I was about to say. Amen?
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Had a fellow one time in Maryland, and he wanted to get saved, and so I said, let's go have lunch. Got in the car. It was about a 15-minute drive to the restaurant. Wasn't sure what else to talk about, so I shared the gospel with him. We got to the restaurant parking lot, and he said, well, I can pray right now, couldn't I? We got saved before lunch ever started. Amen?
Amen.
It's not hard to get saved if you believe what Jesus said.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
He wants to save you. You say, well, what would keep somebody from getting saved? Pride. Their own intellect. I know more than that religion stuff. I don't care about that. I don't believe that Bible. One day you will. Every time a wicked person dies, two thoughts go through my mind. I think, oh, they're in hell. And then I think, now they know the truth. But then there's the man like Dan Ball that passed away recently. He's with the Lord because he knew the truth already.
Amen.
He received the truth. Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
We know heaven is where God is. So to go to heaven, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you get saved, you can grow very near to God if you will. And one of the reasons our nation is in such a wreck today and our world is in such a mess today and our churches are in such a mess today is because there's a whole bunch of people that say they're close to God and they're not close at all. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking.